Podcast dinle.
Hey everyone, Philip here, and this is Brainstorm. I want you to listen to this. Could you hear the last note in your head? Isn't that strange? You could hear a sound in your mind before it was actually real. What's going on there? If you follow me down the rabbit hole that is today's video, I promise you I will try to blow your mind with the most exciting new theory about the brain ever. Let's follow the rabbit. Walking. We never pay much attention to walking. It's such a mundane thing, we hardly stop to think about it. If we did stop for a second and contemplate the act of putting one foot in front of the other, we might stumble upon an incredible realization. We walk through the world assuming we know what's going to happen next. Our brains are constantly racing ahead and asking themselves, what's going to happen next? How long will our stride be? What will the ground feel like? How much pressure we have to apply for the next step? And so on. And all of this happens without us consciously thinking about it. You don't constantly stop after every step to check if you're stable before taking the next one, right? And the same holds true for music. Our brain is racing ahead while listening to a song, thinking about what the next chord will sound like, what the next line will be like, how the melody will continue. We are only able to walk the way we do and with so much confidence and speed because our brain's predictions are mostly correct. But what happens if they're not? That felt wrong. But why? Yes, it was off in its melody, but there was something else going on. The last note defied our expectations. When our brain's prediction of what the next chord will be like was violated, it noticed, and it forced our attentional spotlight to it. The same is true when walking and you trip or you miss a step on a staircase. Your brain's answer to its own question of what will happen next was incorrect and you stumble. You can really feel our predictions being thrown off when listening to music that doesn't adhere to a pattern our brain is able to predict. The same is true for walking. What happens when a brain races ahead and it's unable to answer its own question of what the next step will be like? When walking on ice, we struggle because the ice is slippery. But there's more to it. We can't walk normally because we can't predict which way our feet will be slipping. Every step we take is painfully slow and we have to constantly wait and see if we're stable. Thanks to the ice and almost no friction, we enter the world of unpredictability and uncertainty. Whether it's listening to music or walking down the street, our brains do one thing above all else. They predict what's going to happen next. That's their primary purpose. And it happens unconsciously. You automatically predict the end of this sentence and you predict your phone or your laptop not to die while watching this video. If the brain is truly a prediction machine, wouldn't we have noticed this in its anatomy and architecture? Well, let's have a look. Okay, I need a brain for this. Beautiful. So let's see what happens if I shine a light onto your eye. Kind of like this. The light will hit your retina cells in your eye, which will send an electrical signal into your brain, via the thalamus, which is kind of a relay station or a gatekeeper, and onto the visual cortex. So far, so boring and predictable. But if the brain was mainly built around receiving sensory information, we would expect as many connections and nerves running from your eyes to the thalamus and from the thalamus to the visual cortex, right? The more connections running forward, the larger the bandwidth, the better you can see. Makes sense, right? But what actually happens is insane. Not only are the connections running the opposite direction from the visual cortex to the thalamus, but there are about 10 times as many backwards connections. What the hell's going on? Why would there be 10 times as many connections going backwards instead of forward? When we start to think about the brain as a prediction machine, it starts to make sense. So how do higher order regions like the visual cortex communicate to lower order regions like the thalamus what they expect to see at any given moment if they can't talk to them. If there were only feed-forward connections from the thalamus to the visual cortex, the visual cortex couldn't communicate the other way back. So you need feedback loops running from higher regions to lower regions to communicate your expectations. If you're walking, for instance, the higher order regions will send expectations down to lower regions, like the shape, the contrast, the lines of the floor, the surface you're walking on. And exactly the same thing is happening in a different part of your brain when you're listening to music and with sound and chords and melody instead of surfaces and sights. The basic fact that there are more connections running from top to bottom than the other way around reveals the ultimate importance of predictions and how evolution shaped our brains to be prediction machines. Think about this. 90% of your bandwidth is used to communicate predictions and expectations and not sensory information. So why should we care about how our brains are built? I think because it reveals a deep truth about human nature. We are living on a spectrum between prediction on the one hand and sensory input on the other. Let's look at a few behaviors and try to understand them through this new awesome lens of prediction and sensory input. Let's take hallucinations, for instance. They're not real, right? They're by definition imaginary. So they don't rely on sensory input at all. They are based on feedback loops within your brain telling lower sensory parts of your brain what to see, hear, or feel. Also on this side of the spectrum, according to some scientists, is the placebo effect. Certain remedies that are complete bullshit might work because you think they do. So higher cortical areas to lower cortical areas, that this will work, and maybe this sends signals to the immune system or neuroendocrine system and therefore boosts your immune response. What about the other side of the spectrum though? Only sensory input. Imagine you'd be really bad at predictions and you rely heavily on sensory information input. Some new research suggests that maybe ASD, autism spectrum disorder, might be partly explained by this. People with ASD have a hard time predicting social behaviors of other people. At the same time, they find repetitive behaviors, especially with their fingers or with their bodies, extremely calming. And this could be because those are highly predictable, therefore more on this side, highly predictable behaviors or motions. Another one on this side could be LSD trips. Some new evidence suggests that maybe even an LSD trip based on a component called psilocybin might be able to relax the prediction machine within your brain and therefore allow you to perceive more of the raw sensory input that comes through the world into your brain. What's in the center? That's where learning happens. Think about it. If you're listening to a song or you're walking on the street on your trip, the sensory input allows you to rearrange or update your model of the world, which was clearly wrong because you missed a step, right? And therefore, you learn something. So your models, your predictions on this side are updated to a more realistic version of the world because of sensory input that comes in. How cool is that? I want to convey the importance of this idea to you. When I first learned about this, it changed how I thought about everything. Our world is ruled by our models of the world and their predictions. Prediction and its antagonist, uncertainty, define how we live. It literally takes a toll on your mind to live in a world you can't predict. The classical Buddhist formula for happiness, happiness equals reality minus expectations, has some truth to it, but that's a topic for another video. The only question that's now left is, what's next? Thank you so much for watching today. This video, episode number 2 in the emotion series, was originally designed to talk about a new theory of emotion. And that was the original plan, but I realized I can't talk about a new theory of emotions without explaining something way more fundamental about the brain. And that was today's episode 2, and we dove deep into expectations and predictions, basically our brain's bread and butter. So thank you so much for sticking with me here. Next week, episode 3, we will finally talk about a new theory of emotions. You will find the video here or here. In the meantime, check out other videos and please don't forget to subscribe if you like this content. Your support is truly humbling. Thank you so much. Let's start with hallucinations, for instance. Hallucinate for hallucination. They rely totally on feedback loops within your brain.
Podcast dinle.